Is debt beating you down? You need discipline. You need the Debt Ninja. If you've been caught in a financial trap and need to be set free, then you need the Debt Ninja. Want to stop those harassing collection calls, start saving thousands in interest and fees, and get out of debt fast? Then you need to call the Debt Ninja. The Debt Ninja will find the best companies across the country that will help you consolidate all your bills into one easy payment, reduce your payments by 30 to 50%, and get you out of debt fast. If you have unsecured debt of $10,000 or more, such as credit cards, loans, or medical bills, call the Debt Ninja for a free 15-minute consultation.
Call 800-839-5518. 800-839-5518. That's 800-839-5518. Call today.
The Debt Ninja.
This is Radio Influence. Podcasting redefined.
Let me tell you why you're here.
You have 210 stories, office buildings.
We just witnessed some kind of...
You don't find a desk.
Secondary.
You don't find a chair.
Follow-up explosion on the World Trade Center.
You don't find a telephone.
Some kind of explosion, a lot of smoke come out of the top.
110 stories high, they are no longer there.
The building collapsed to dust.
To dust. To dust.
To dust.
To dust.
To dust.
This is your last chance.
I would ask.
After this, there is no turning back.
Once all the facts are out.
You take the blue pill.
For your understanding.
The story ends.
And for your forgiveness.
You wake up in your bed and believe whatever you want to do.
Media is the...
You take the red
pill. Nervous system of a democracy.
You stay in Wonderland.
If it's not functioning well, the democracy can't function.
And I show you how deep the rabbit hole goes.
The democracy can't function.
The red pill.
Take the red pill.
You have to let it all go.
Take the red pill.
Fear.
9/11truth.org. Doubt. WhatReallyHappened.com.
You disbelieve.
WTC7.net.
Free your mind.
Take the red pill.
This could,
hang on.
This could end up. Hello, check, check, check. This could end up as the most abbreviated show I've ever done in the history of podcasting, broadcasting. And the reason I say that is, you know, I don't mind catching a little buzz before you turn the mic on and, you know, loosens you up a little bit. But that kind of started early today. And I'm in, how do you define this? I don't know. Buzzed? Yes. Ding, ding, ding. I've got the prep done, ready to play the videos. I have to describe what's going on here in the studio. I'm eating steak fries smothered in cheese and bacon. Hang on a sec. Wow. You know? And I'm just kind of waiting for the heart attack. It's like, I look at what I'm eating and I go, okay, what do you think? It's, you know, it's early evening. Maybe, just maybe, you'll wake up and your left arm will be asleep and it... How do I say it? I'm not wasted. I'm very buzzed. So I just wanted to be truthful with you guys because, you know, when you do a podcast and you have opinions about shit. Hang on. Oh, man, this stuff's so good. And since it's got so much bacon in it, You really don't. It doesn't need salt. But it needs pepper.
Hang on a sec.
Ah, that's good. Windows are open. It's beautiful here in Florida, by the way. Everywhere I went, buildings and businesses today, unless it was against the law, had their doors open and windows. It's just, it's the reason we live here. The weather gets amazing this time of year. And for like five straight months, you put up with July, August, September, October, and then you get like 6 months of awesomeness. So I met up with a friend. I had to go voice track over at Beasley today. And I met up with a friend afterwards, and he's like, dude, let's do a shot. Let's do a shot. I'm like, yeah, I'm thinking, okay, yeah, it's 2 o'clock. Yeah. All right, one's cool. Well, you know, it's 5:15. Time to leave the establishment. And I'm like, holy shit, I got to do Dangerous Conversation. So, though I have the videos to get to, I'm going to spend like 10 minutes setting up the failure of the show. So as you're coming into the podcast, you're going like, holy shit, Ledge is fucked. See? He's fucked up. And I haven't done a completely obliterated show. You got to remember, I'm sitting in my bedroom. It's no big deal. I'm not driving anywhere. I'm going to stay home and watch Shooter, which is a TV show, by the way, based on the movie, the Mark Wahlberg movie. And I watched it last night, and I liked it, and I taped it, and I was like, yeah, but I was so sleepy, I fell asleep, so I'm going to watch it again. So it's going to be, you know, I guess what we call the movie with the sound down during this podcast. And instead of it being Mark Wahlberg, I predict a 60-minute show tonight. Seriously. You know, like when you're fucked up and your friends need to fuck with you to prove to you you're fucked up, and you guys don't need to prove it. Hang on a second. And who doesn't catch a buzz? Hang on a sec.
Oh.
That's going to be messy. Who doesn't catch a buzz? But normally in the middle of, I know, this is so rude, like chewing and eating in your ear. Radio 101, don't ever eat on the air.
Oh, well.
Now, like 5 years from now, people are going to go, Ledge, remember that show you did when you were all fucked up? That's this one. So it's going to break all the rules. It's going to break all the podcast rules and the broadcast rules and the show host rules, because it's going to be my exit. No. It's not an exodus. My entry into, I got a little 4-pack of Coors Lights, and I ate half a pot cookie because I figured if I'm going to do a broadcast fucked up, I have to fully dedicate myself to doing a podcast fucked up. So as we progress, the alcohol right there, and the cannabis cookie I've eaten recently are going to take me to a new plateau of idiocy. What I'm looking forward to doing and sharing with you guys tonight is how far do I go? Wait a minute. Sorry. Something's making noise here. Like a buzz in the background. Hang on. Yeah, it might just be the background noise. I got the windows open. How far can I go in a broadcast before I just throw in the white towel and go, okay? Because I haven't done anything like this by myself. Now, I've done these kind of shows with the crew. Rick's getting married Saturday, by the way. Looking forward to that. You know, back in the IO days, I did some shows where, you know, someone was going to drive me over the bridge back to my crib. And I was like, you know what? I'm tired of the FCC regulations. I fucking want to get fucking shit-faced on a show. And we did do that. Rick and Frank and Ferris and Dave and God, I mean, everybody, Revere, Richard. We all pretty much partook. But I asked myself, you know what? What are you going to do when you're home by yourself doing dangerous conversation and you got a little buzz on because everything's done today? Yesterday was a very busy day. Today was a busy day. And I swung by, you know, Shea Ledge, and I run into a guy I know, and he's like, hey, dude, I'll buy a shot. I'm like, I can just do one. You know what? There's no reason why I can't do five shots. Absolutely. Thank you, Jeff. So here we are, roughly 10 minutes into a broadcast with absolutely no content. Wait a minute. I got to add a tiny bit of content. I'm not going to add a lot, okay? But I've got to add a little. Wrong guy. Sorry. What?
The football playoffs. I'm Brian McCallum. Regional playoffs. And you are?
Tyler Vasquez.
We'll start with 7A.
There are no playoffs.
Vieira, 41-0 over East River tonight. First ever playoff game for East River. Will Champion had a 45-yard.
I don't even know who that person is.
Mike Vega rushing touchdowns. The Hawks, last year's 7A state runners-up.
Does that like come from that, or where does that come from?
District 6.
Go over. No, wrong guy.
Vieira already has a win at Martin County this year. And we'll drop down to 5A because we have a 6A team, and you were at Palm Bay.
Palm Bay, it was a big night for B.J. Daniels. Seems like B.J. Daniels has a lot of big nights. 145 yards rushing.
This is awesome because I have no idea who's making all this noise.
Lions, he had four interceptions, including one that he returned for a 50-yard touchdown for the Pirates. Very fast, he was weaving in and out of everybody. And then Stuart Brown completed three passes for 103 yards and two touchdowns. He did have an interception, but still big scoring night for him. And that leads us to our next game, which is Bishop Moore, Merritt Island. Bishop Moore won, so Palm Bay next week hosts Bishop Moore.
And that was 21-19 Bishop Moore. Mustangs missed a two-point conversion that would have tied the game. But Merritt Island led 10-0, so a good night for the Mustangs going on the road, and that's the defending state champion in Class 5A, and they'll visit Palm Bay last year.
Kind of don't feel it, you know? Okay, next one. It's coming up. There it is. All right, let's bring that back. So what am I trying to say? Yes, Ric Flair. Hotel bell. Oh, that's loud. Fucking loud. My headphones were turned up too loud. During this podcast, let's call this the booze cast. That's what this will be tonight. The booze cast. I promise you 100% that I will provide you with 0% content tonight. Because my goal isn't about you or the growth of the podcast. It's about making sure I don't have a hangover at 8:30. So, pardon me a second. You know, that's how it goes. So, I'm thinking if I eat enough of these French fries, I might be the first person to ever, and thanks, Jeff, for fucking up my podcast and getting me fucked up and following me home. This might be the first podcast ever where someone actually has a stroke or a heart attack in the middle of it because he's actively clogging his veins while he's doing the show. I told you it's going to be a 60-minute broadcast tonight. I'm too far gone to possibly pretend that somehow. And the funny thing is, I'm not slurring my words too bad because I'm trying real hard. Because if I just went, hey, motherfuckers, what's going on, man? I am so shit-faced. Because I am. Then, you know, does that become, hey, dude, remember when Ledge was fucked up and he did that podcast? Is that this show? Because I think this is that show. I ate half a pot cookie about an hour ago. And I've had, like, too many shots of whatever the fuck you bought me. And I text Jerry, and I was like, oh, show's going to be a little tight tonight, Mike. Might just slip under the wire. Fuck. These bacon bits are so good. Oh, my God. You ever have that moment where you can actually feel your blood pressure go up? That was it right there. Hang on. Now, I know Trump won the election, and everybody's freaking out on both sides, which is great. It's cool. I like it. I like more people with an opinion than a bunch of drones somehow trusting the matrix that they're in, and everything's going to get better. It don't work that way. You got to challenge it. So what's happening is, you know, the left is very unhappy, and the right's jumping around, and everyone's calling out Donald Trump and his cabinet. I saw Cynthia post something about he literally might create a Muslim registry. We'll get to that in a second. You know the part when you're, like, really buzzed and you feel great, but there's things that piss you off, but you're in a good mood because you're buzzed, and you don't want to bring them up because, you know, is Donald Trump going to create a registry like the Nazis did? And not only that, if he does, how many people are going to go along with it? That makes me nervous. Now, if empires rise, totalitarianism, oh, fuck. I just barely made it through that word. Arises and people give it a hall pass. That's because they're wrapped in it and fearful, but if you can't recognize it in the past, as we are now able to do, and then recognize that it might possibly rise again, and it'll come under the guise of nationalism, not patriotism, will enough people recognize the early signs that a lot of people now look back to mid to late 30s Germany? Is that what's going to happen? Because I have news for you. If that's what happens, what is that buzz? What is that buzz? Is that literally the window open? I can't tell. Hang on a sec. I can't tell you. It's a podcast from a small studio. Lots of wires on the ground. Who knows? You know, late 30s, people started to have to sign into registries because of their religion. Does that sound familiar? So, does Trump mean it? What's up with Trump? I say give the guy 100 days because you'll know. By the time he's 100 days in, you'll know the cabinet. Now, I'm hearing both sides of that. Oh, he's putting a whole bunch of lobbyists, and then I've heard Mike Pence is getting rid of those, and, you know, no, we're going to drain the swamp, and you know what? Just show me. Don't tell me. Don't talk about it. Make your choices. Walk the walk. I had this conversation a little earlier today. Walk the walk. If you plan on putting anyone from the LGBT community in your office or cabinet, please do. Not that you're trying to win people over. More of, this person's highly qualified to be in this position, and I could care less if they're gay. That's what it needs to get to. I am trying. Whew. I got a good buzz. He bought me his shot, and I was like, oh, okay, I'm good. No, man, just one more. And I'm like, oh, man, I'm looking at the watch. You know how that works. And here I am doing a podcast that I really want to get to a lot of audio. I got a lot of stuff. And yeah. So people say, oh, why did you say give Trump a, you know, give him some time? I like, well, because all I know is what he's yapped. I have yet to see any of the actions this man will take place as the leader of the free world, as they like to put it, and what happens with him and Pence and his cabinet and his Supreme Court nominations and everything. The only way you're going to know is to sit back and watch and obviously be vigilant if you're against this man. And I'm right now, I'm neutral, because all I know is he shook up the system a little. The Democratic Party is starting to crumble under their own hubris, much like the Republican Party has over the last 8 years, where lots of people are questioning the matrix, stepping outside, becoming a libertarian, becoming a Green Party, becoming an independent, and more people are literally involved in politics. Now, I know Facebook frustrates a lot of people. It doesn't, me. I see, like, wow, you learn so much about, just read down a thread. Wait till someone posts something from the left or someone posts something from the right. And watch the thread and read it. You learn so much about opinions in the country. It's not like you're taking a poll, but it is like you get a microcosm of what people think about any specific subject matter, and it comes to your computer on Twitter or Facebook. So I'm all about what happened. I'm not a Trump guy. I'm not a Bush guy. I'm not a Obama guy. I'm certainly not a Clinton person. Because these people have done nothing but extend the agenda of globalism and water down our borders. And I don't want to sound like I'm not saying that in a racist way. I'm talking about the sovereignty of a country is based on, yes, we do have some political influence in the world. Let's end the wars. Let's start signing treaties. And as the so-called bright and shining light on the hill, we can lead the world to a more prosperous place rather than a more competitive place. But people go, oh, that's not going to happen. Powerful people want more power. And I'm like, you know what? They do. But information is power. Now, if you look back at what happened here in the state of Florida, medical cannabis passed. That's information spreading. It passed by, let me see, 12, 13, 14 more percent 2 years later than it failed. Lots of people are learning about the medicine, about the backstory, about how it became illegal, about who's vilified it, about who suffers if it becomes legal and it goes after big pharma and big alcohol or big tobacco or all of them, or big cotton when it comes to hemp, or big lumber when it comes to hemp, or soybean when it comes to hemp seeds. This plant and its cousin completely fuck with the established status quo of many powerful industries in the country, including concrete. Hempcrete's amazing. But all of this is changing because of stupid little podcasts and broadcasts and Twitter feeds and Facebook arguments, because people are learning. And that's the best part of all of this to me. I don't have a side when it comes to left versus right. I have a side when it comes to who's going to learn something that is closer to the truth and more prosperous for the masses. That's what truth is meant to do. If it's calling out religion, if it's calling out politics, if it's calling out, Fukushima's been going on for 6 years. There's a plant and three reactors leaking radiation into the Pacific Ocean every day for six straight years. And you don't even hear it brought up. Because if people actually learned what's going on over there, they would say no to any possibility of any nuclear reactor being built anywhere. And they'd say, give me solar. Give me geothermal. Give me tidal. Give me wind. Give me anything except the chance that I'm going to give birth to a deformed baby because my water's contaminated from a nuclear reactor 500 miles away from me. So I get what part of what DC's always been about is, please start some conversations. Now, people go all the way to the Rothschilds and the bankers, and I'm like, you know what? You got to show me the paper trail. I understand these people are very wealthy and very powerful, and I'm not saying they're not pulling the strings. What I am saying is, if you're trying to wake someone out, someone up, jostle them. Don't shout in their ears because they'll run in the other direction. Bring them slowly into the matrix. And that's what's happening. That's what DC's been about and all the different new media. And believe me, every time I turn around, someone's making waves in new media. That's awesome. That's what we need. We need boat rockers. We need people that say, you know what? I don't like Mr. Trump and here's why. Or I don't like Hillary Clinton and here's why. See where the, you know, it's settling out right now, which is kind of neat to see. Protests going on every day. People blaming George Soros for funding them. Show me the paper trail. It's all you need to do. Do the investigative work. Do I think he's behind a bunch of shenanigans? Yes. Prove it to me. Prove it to the world. Use the media. Zuckerberg is suddenly all against, fake, quote, fake websites, fake news places on the web. And we don't trust CNN and MSNBC and Fox. But they, in an article that I don't even think I'll approach it, maybe there's a video to go with it. Oh, man, it's going to be a tough show tonight, can you tell? I'm trying. It's okay. I love what's happening in new media. In the last couple of days, media called out media that was calling out media. I know. That's so good to see. Oh, don't listen to them. Listen to us. And then people on the other side, oh, don't listen to them. Listen to us. And yes, of course, something called red state. You think it's going to lean right? Of course it is. But what if 20% of what they told you was true? And that was the only place you got it. Or what if you went to COS and some of what they told you on the left was absolutely accurate? What's wrong with both? What's wrong with finding the truth between 10,000 outlets of information? From Al Jazeera to RT America to NHK to the BBC to CBN in Canada to all the places here in America, if you can't start piecing the puzzle together, you're not paying attention. So the best part of everything that's being done on a podcast or a broadcast or a website, believe me, my goals for DC are more cathartic for me now at this point because I have to start pursuing a much more lucrative paycheck, and that's why I'm going into solar and cannabis. But I do this show more for me at this point than anything else to simply encourage you to seek many different places. I love it when I'm wrong. I love it when I have to delete a post because someone goes, fake website, dude. I'm like, okay, no problem. You know why? Because now I know it's a fake website. When you remove the ego from the equation, the learning process is actually very, very entertaining. You don't have to be right all the time. What you have to do is at least raise the conversation. Someone said to me today, you're an instigator. I'm like, no. She goes, I see you on Facebook. I go, no. I just want people talking. And I go down and I read the post, and two things happen. I probably learn a little bit more about something, and you definitely know what that person, A, B, C, or D, that's posting, is about. You can read them very easily. As long as they don't personally attack a person with it, I don't care what they post. If they're not threatening violence, I don't care what they post. When they attack me with names, I usually delete them pretty quick, but I love a good conversation. And I see it. I see it on Facebook. I see it on Twitter. And I see a lot of angry people like that right now. Have you noticed? Yeah, it's kind of easy to see. That means people are passionate about what's happening in the country or with the direction of the country or the direction of the corporations or the direction of a pipeline or anything else that's happening. People are getting engaged and involved and forming an opinion. And that is way better than it was a long time ago. Because all we had was newspaper, radio, and television. The only so-called news, unquote, news that you could get was from a controlled matrix. And now, oh, here's the top 50 fake news sites. Oh, who's it coming from? Oh, it's coming from a news site whose ratings have dropped 500% in the last 2 years because people are seeking other opinion. It doesn't mean it's completely accurate, but I love it when media is attacking media. That's attacking media. How fucking cool is that? Let it all figure itself out. Let everybody involved in that defend their information, post links, confirm what they're saying, and it's beautiful. It's awesome. I get excited every time I go online and I go, okay, I'm going to click on this post, and 85 people post an opinion about something that's going on, whether maybe it's the pipeline or maybe it's what's going on in Syria. And all I see is people that are, don't get me wrong, post your kittens, post your breakfast meal. I get it. You know, it's social media. Get up there, take a pretty picture of that bacon strip. Yay. Oh, look at me. I'm based in, oh, I'm having lobster. Yeah, that's cool. That's cool. But you know what's even better is when you say, oh, did you read this article about the governor resigning because someone caught him, you know, blam, 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 info, 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 info. So I don't listen to Alex Jones anymore, but do I visit a link he might share? I would say, yeah, probably 3 out of 10 times. Do I go to MSNBC and Fox, and do I go to, Tucker's, what's the name of his? I can't remember the name of Tucker's website. What is it? It's like douchebag.com. What is it? I can't remember. I love the idea that every time I turn around, Glenn Beck changes his mind because he's looking at the research and people are leaving in droves because of all the fear-mongering and leaning towards the right. This is why I wanted to talk about this registry of Muslims tonight. Because religion's sticking its stupid-ass nose into things again. Oh, every Muslim's a terrorist. Who the fuck are you? It's just another religion. There's a bunch of people that have had bombs dropped on them for the last 15 years, and maybe they're just a wee bit wore out, and the only thing they have left, other than their dead child laying next to him, is a book with magic spells in it. And they decide, oh, that's all I got left is me and Allah. So now I'm going to pick up a gun and try to shoot back at you. Who creates that? The book? Does the book create that man? Or does the fact we just bombed the fuck out of his country for the last 15 years and all his relatives are dead and he's got nothing else to live for and now he's going to, become a, quote, terrorist. Who creates the terrorist? What creates the terrorist? Is it a religion? Or is it the fact that they're all born sitting on top of petroleum and natural gas, and we made up a fucking bullshit reason on 9/11 to go extract their natural resources? That includes titanium, by the way, the batteries and the electric cars and everything else that's coming down the line is made of minerals, and those minerals happen to be prevalent in Afghanistan. So as much as I'm into, electric cars and batteries that last longer, how much of that is connected to the bullshit? It's not just oil and natural gas. These corporations need to feed the beast. So we made up a reason to go there. So now we got a boogeyman called Islam. And now some of those people are moving here. Well, because we bombed the fuck out of Syria and Libya. Libya was kind of the gate to keep people from crossing the Mediterranean into Europe. And now we have an oh, we have a huge issue when it comes to people coming into the country. They were fine in their own country. It's cause and effect over and over and over again. But all we hear on our end is, let's create a registry. I'm not defending the violence that anyone associates with any religion. I wouldn't do that to a Christian who blew up a abortion site any more than a Muslim who became a human weapon in his Islamic faith. I don't defend violence, but I am describing where it comes from. I don't know what's up with Donald Trump. Christ, the guy's not even president for another 2 months. And we'll see. But I can guarantee you this. The people that absolutely believe in him are fervent, and the people that are absolutely against him are the same. The country is now engaged. The country is now paying attention to the direction, either forward, backwards, sideways, neutral, whatever direction this country takes in a dozen or so topics, people are paying attention. That's awesome. You want to hear the complaints? I don't think people, well, some people are complaining. I'm going to play you some, I think it's Colbert, Bill Maher. And I don't know how much of John Oliver I'm going to get to. But Bill Burr is going to start us off with a laugh.
First question, everyone talking about voter turnout. Did you vote yesterday?
Yes, I did.
You did. Good for you.
Yes, I did.
Got a vote.
By the way, I'm really fucking buzzed. I don't like doing shows like this. Honestly, especially alone, because then... Did you hear that really sad show Ledge did when he was drunk all by himself? Ladies and gentlemen, that cookie's starting to kick. Oh, save me, Bill. Save me, fucker.
Yes, I did. I can't quite remember who I voted for president. It wasn't Trump or Hillary, though. Yeah. I didn't like either one of them.
Really? You didn't like either one?
No, I didn't. I couldn't stand her. She dresses like a real estate agent, like her... doing this thing with her head.
Yeah.
The other guy's saying, take people's coats.
Yeah.
They just didn't offer anything for me.
Yeah, so they didn't appeal to you.
No, they didn't. And I don't understand why everybody's so upset.
Yeah.
You know, like, what's going to happen to you? If you liked Obama, did he call you at all in the last 8 years? Did he ever put a sandwich on your table? You do that. You're going to keep doing that. You're going to be fine.
Right.
And you're like, what's he going to? Oh, my God. Dude, I have to say, though, him winning is the most astounding thing I've ever seen.
It was a surprise.
Surprise. Dude, like, you're talking like Lake Placid, the Olympics, when we beat the Russian.
Do you believe in miracles? Yes.
Buries that. Kurt Gibson's home run is a joke.
Right.
The Giants beat the undefeated Patriots. That's all a joke. Dude, the star of a reality show is going to run the country. The guy who decided if Bret Michaels or Cyndi Lauper would make a better CEO for a company that doesn't exist is going to be running stuff. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
He was the shit, though. He was like, he just reminded me like when I didn't read the book and I'm just like, just winging it, you know? I'm going to do it. How are you going to do that? Oh, you'll see.
I was that guy. Were you that person? No, man, a few fucking nerds. Some of you didn't read the book in like ninth grade English, you know, like Tale of Two Cities, and you had to fake it every time the teacher called on you. And what do you think about the two families? I can't even remember the name of the families. And I go, it seemed that there was a lot of strife, and you try to use big words. And about it. Like 20 seconds into your bullshit, the teacher looks at you like, you didn't read the book. And you're like, and he's like, and, you know, what do you think about that? And I go, it was disturbing. It was disturbing to read that. And then he looks at me like, you'll get a C. Yeah. That's how I felt. That's how I felt on this election. I felt You know, the oligarchs and big oil and big natural gas and big banks. You know, Hillary was like their girl. So when you realize the amount of power they have, could they easily corrupt a close election? Yes. It's been done before. They didn't do it, or they tried to do it and got caught, or they didn't do it because they said too many people are watching the vote counters now. Too many people are watching the counters, and those people are watching those people, and those people are watching those people. And maybe as people run audits on voting machines, electronic voting machines, and they find there's no anomalies, we might actually get back to a real, true democracy republic where every vote counts and every vote is counted. Now, everyone's talking about the Electoral College. Good. Is it still necessary? I don't know. Without it, in my opinion, honestly, your candidates would, you know, campaign in the 30 largest cities of the country because that's where the population is, and they would never go out to Timbuktu. Does Utah have the same, carry the same weight as California? No. Population-wise, they don't. But they at least have two senators, and they have a smaller amount of representatives. But the whole idea of the Electoral College and the separation of powers between the three areas of government is to never let it coagulate into a juggernaut. Man, I'm just pulling these words out of my ass. That actually has mojo based on numbers. So, you know, Gore won the popular vote. George Bush was an elected president from the Electoral College / Supreme Court. Same thing happened now. Everybody is questioning the system. Not everybody, but a lot more people are doing it. You want revolution? You need to wake people. You need people that are either, you know, you don't have to carry a sign and block traffic. And if you believe in Black Lives Matter, if you believe in, hey, fuck, if you believe in Blue Lives Matter, you're now involved. Instead of just worrying about raking your leaves on Saturday and wondering if you need to buy more citronella before your barbecue for your daughter's birthday, that piece of life I get. I completely get that. But this country is at that fork in the road where we're going to decide to start to take back our power, and we do that through knowledge. Florida did it twice locally with Amendment 1 and 2, versus going, the whole system's rigged. I don't know. I used to say that. But now I'm starting to wonder, if enough people are watching the watchers, watching the watchers, watching the watchers, it's going to be hard to cheat. If it's hard to cheat, and I know we're still less than 50% of the voting, but if it's hard to cheat, more and more people are going to feel like they trust the system, and if they trust the system, they're going to get engaged and involved in it. And I think that's the beautiful part of what's happening. I don't choose sides in the left and right. I just say, like, how many people are really starting to question the Matrix? More and more. Now, younger people always have a tendency to do that. In the 60s, they said, don't trust anyone over 30. And that rule almost still applies. Because by the time you get to 30, you're usually going to sink yourself into a, you know, oh, I'm a Democrat, or I'm a Republican, or I'm a Libertarian, or I'm a Green Party, or I'm a anarchist, or I am dot, dot, dot. You've got it filled in by then. And this is the beauty of what's happening. Yeah, the reason a lot of us can't see that beauty is because we're still so engaged in our own opinions. You know, I watched Austin Peterson do a Facebook Live the other day, and he talked about the voting in the rural areas where people that would normally always vote Democrat were feeling disenfranchised, so they ended up voting for Trump, and that's really where Hillary lost some of those swing states. She didn't lose it in Pittsburgh. She lost it in the Pennsylvania Hills, or Michigan, or Ohio. I want to believe the system was starting to be completely corrupted in early 2000s. And then I believe that so many people started watching. And after Chadgate, I think more people, you know, they think of Brad Friedman, what he does over there at Green News. He's constantly looking for the anomaly where someone is trying to cheat the system, not just the system being, you know, like crooked crony capitalism, full-on corporatism. I'm not talking about that. I'm just talking about if we have a chance to claw back into this and make changes. I'm the optimist, but I'm also, you know, I think you can change things locally. And once you change things locally, that's where people feel empowered. Once you feel empowered, that's when your groups gain mojo. But what Bill's got to say here is absolutely the truth. How much is going to change? How much will the, as Ron Paul calls them, the shadow government, will be allowed to infiltrate Trump? Or will he kick and scream to keep himself, the guy who promised he's going to drain the swamp, and Willie with his actions and all his appointees? We're going to know that in the next, what, month? And then anybody who's questionable on both sides of the, you know, by the way, if he brings in a gay person into his cabinet, good for you. Well, don't you think the hardcore right is going to go, you did what? So he's going to get shit from both sides. But how much of what he actually does, and I don't mean like 2 years from now. I can't even think that far down the road. I'm talking about who's he going to appoint to be part of his administration when he starts to tackle all these things. You know, he's even said out loud he wouldn't mind revisiting 9/11. How much of the newly elected candidate and everything he said to us, when I mean on the good side, is a lie, is just bullshit? I said that to get elected. You know, it's going on a long time. Listen to what Burr has to say, though. I mean, you know, he goes all the way to Bilderberg with this.
Then it worked. Dude, he is the greatest shit talker of all time. He sat at like a $100,000 breakfast while the president trashed him. Humiliated.
This is a couple of years ago.
Yeah, I'm jumping around.
White House Correspondents' Dinner, yeah.
Thank you. Thanks for giving it structure.
Yeah.
Humiliated the guy.
Right.
My wife would love you. She should sit next to me during brunch. She never knows what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Sits there. The guy totally trashes him. He's absolutely humiliated. And within like 2-3 years, he had that guy's job.
Right.
So you could never talk shit to him. Going, right. Hey, Donald, you know, one time I was in a bar and this guy came in. Yada, yada. Oh, really? One time I was sitting, I paid $100,000 for breakfast. The President Trump, President, what the hell's his name? Barack?
Obama.
Yeah, Obama.
Yeah. I'm giving you structure now.
Yeah, yeah.
Obama.
He trashed me. 2 years later, I had a fucking job. I kicked him out of his house. Yeah. Out of his house.
Well, how did you think the night would go?
I thought Hillary was going to kill him.
Yeah.
I totally did. I was sitting there going like, you know, that. I mean, I thought he was going to do okay, but then it was unbelievable. It's like one of those things like you're watching a game and you don't care who wins. You know what I mean?
Dang, dang, dang. I have, you know, Christ, if you've been listening to the show, you realize that I see the Matrix for what it is. And after a while, all you root for is the truth to bubble to the surface. And this is why WikiLeaks or Snowden or people like that are vilified, because the system doesn't want you to know the truth. It wants you chasing false paradigms and false flags, and it wants you hating people you've never met and religions you fear, fearing a religion you know nothing about, or a belief system, or a culture, and everything else. And here we are with our new president mentioning a Muslim registry. How many of you listening right now fear every Muslim on the planet? Or how many of you listening right now fear any Muslim on the planet? Because if that happens to find its way through Congress, I don't think it will. I really don't. I don't think registries are, you know, again, we're revisiting Hitler late 30s. So the talk is the talk. The walk of the walk is different. It is already flushing itself out. Supposedly, some of the swamp has been drained. I'm excited to see what... I'm not excited that Donald Trump's the president. I'm excited to see if any fucking boat rocking is legit and what it lets bubble to the surface. How much more truth? I'm not talking about these guys all, you know, like rats on the Titanic, jumping ship and ratting each other out. I'm talking about how many people will capitulate on a hardcore. You know, is Putin serious about lowering the tension that Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama brought between us and Russia when it comes to Syria and Turkey? Is he, you know, Trump's a schmuck. He's playing Trump. Isn't it funny how both sides have, they're already, Putin wants to de-escalate the tension in the Middle East. Syria's right there along the Med, and a lot of those pipelines wanted to run through that, the PNAC movement, and everything else has been going on. And, of course, Syria's been Russia's ally. And the reason Russia is Syria's ally is because they have, right there on the Med, on the coastline of the Mediterranean, an ally. Anytime you're near water, you're more important. Period. And right now, right after the election, Putin goes, yeah, I'd like to sit down with Mr. Trump and talk about things. Trump's a communist. It's like he can't win. This registry, if it's real... Sorry, Mr. Trump, you lose me on day like 10 if it's real. If you think a registry in 2016, how many fucking sci-fi movies do you have to see where people have tattoos and labeled and, you know, before you go, no, I don't think that's how man progresses. If that happens, he loses me. But the best part is the other side of me thinks, well, he's just another figurehead, just like Obama was. He did what he was told to do. Bush. I think Kennedy was the last guy to say, fuck you. Ever since then, even though that person's in that room and they represent the left or the right or whatever's going on, the same type of closing down of what should be a republic and a democracy is taking place. The NSA... Snowden, all of this happened under the umbrella that's Barack Obama. So he may have, added 10,000 jobs to your community and you love him. And maybe you're a black person. You're like, yeah, black president. That's awesome. You know what? Fuck, that's great. Good for you. Honestly. But you know what? Overall, America's going down the shitter. So was it Reagan? Was it Clinton? Was it Bush? Was it Obama? Is it going to be this guy? This is where Bill Maher goes, it doesn't matter.
You know, I'm just hoping it's going to be a good game. And then all of a sudden, you know, one team's up by like 30, you're thinking? And he just came in and the Statue of Liberty. I don't know how he did it. It's astounding.
Are you worried about him at all being in office? Do you think, does it concern you?
I don't know. I feel like the president, you only see him like once every 3 weeks, you know? It'd be like if you were dating a chick and she was a jerk, but you only saw her once every 3 weeks. There's like no way she could break your heart, you know?
What?
No, you gotta see people day and then like they're day to day.
Yeah. Well, what do you think his presidency is going to be like? You know, a forecast for us. What's it going to be like?
I have no idea. I have no idea. All I know is the other one used to go to those Bilderberg meetings, you know, where they all dress up like yaks and have those eyes wide shut parties. So I didn't know what she was going to do.
Wait, Hillary Clinton?
Oh, yeah.
What are you talking about?
That meeting they have underneath the mountain.
What are you talking I brought you out here to bring perspective and knowledge.
I don't have
at a
any
painful time. And you, this is madness.
I don't
what do you mean
any...
she dresses like
what
a yak and meets
say?
Under a mountain?
What do you want me to say? Like, this whole thing, none of it made sense. Like, this guy saying he's going to build a wall from California to, like, El Paso, Texas. Like, dude, I've done that drive. That's like a two-day drive, 85 miles an hour. Like, you're going to build a wall. You're really going to do this. Like, how much is this going to cost? How many times are you going to go to Home Depot? Like, how big is this thing going to be? Look how long it took to build the Freedom Tower, and we wanted that. That took 15 years. Dude, by the time they build that thing, we're going to be the ones going over it.
That is so perfect. What a great line. I don't know if he did just pull that out of his ass, but...
wanted that. That took 15 years.
Oh.
Dude, by the time they build that thing, we're going to be the ones going over it.
It's so perfect. So perfect.
No, I'm not like, you know...
Well, how could the polls be so wrong? That's a big question everyone's asking today. Is the polls all said, oh, Hillary, 95% chance, 85% chance. How could that have gone so wrong?
Because I don't think that they talk to people. I think they just hang out in their conference room and be like, yeah, you feeling what I'm feeling? Yeah, go with 47%. When did they do it? No one has ever asked me. And I also think if you're any sort of a normal person, if just somebody came walking up to you with a clipboard, like, hey, who are you voting for president? You'd be like, hey, none of your f***ing business. And you just walk away. So basically what you...
Have you ever done that? You know, like, a lot of times you go to... Hang on. Like, I need more. Like, I need more! Hey, man, did you listen to Ledge this week? No, why? He's fucked up. He's pretty fucked up. Hang on. Shooters on TV, I'll tell you about that in a little while. An actual TV show every week. Not the movie, not the Mark Wahlberg movie.
Is you're getting people either so stupid or just with so much free time that they would sit there and they would talk to somebody with a clipboard. I would never do that.
And they would probably say whatever comes to mind, yeah.
Right, yeah.
You don't have to tell the truth.
Exactly.
Fascinating.
A lot of people think that Trump voters... Because Trump is polarizing is not a big enough word. Because this man, if you look at who Donald Trump is, was, people that speak highly of him, outnumbered by people that don't. What's going on? This man isn't, you know, what I like about him is he's not in the machine. And he's a billionaire, so he can't be bought. So if he gets into the machine, what's he going to do to the machine? And this is where all these, I don't know, scumbags are trying to get into his cabinet so they can influence him to keep making the same decisions that globalists want. Versus, let's level the playing field. Let's spend some money on our infrastructure. Let's work on literally lowering the amount of fossil fuels we do use versus everything that's green related. You know me, I talk about that all the time. But right now, Trump, at least from the outside looking in, is definitely a stick in the spokes. Does that disappear in 6 months? I wish I wasn't so pessimistic, but I think it will. For the next 3.5 years after that, you know, it's just another guy from another side of the aisle doing basically the same behaviors, continuing the wars and invasions and everything that Bush got going, that Barack Obama kept going. You know, what happens? I love how Bill Murr here, no, Burr, because I'm about to play a Maher, Bill Maher. I love how they're, Christ, I'm trying so hard. People are like, you guys, it's like, I'm about 30 minutes into this podcast, and you guys are like, man, I'm just waiting for Ledge to derail. There you go. And ironically, these are always the podcasts that have the most downloads. I kid you not. All right, thank you, Bill Burr. Now, let's go over to Bill Maher. Bill Maher is definitely leans left. He was all about Hillary. He certainly wasn't a Trump fan. Can you imagine the amount of left-leaning political pundits and comedians and everybody else, most of them are, that are just going to be... It's like feeding in a trough. That's like it never gets empty. Because it's Donald Trump. It's Donald Trump. I love being alive right now. This is certainly not boring. This is better than reality TV. That's why the NFL ratings are sinking, because Donald Trump's the fucking president. Yeah. Oh, yeah. It was Bill. Yeah, that guy. All right. Come on. Hang on a second. Yay. I'm sorry. Thought I had this queued up.
We tried.
Keep kissing his ass. There we go. We tried. Okay. We love you.
Thank you.
Oh, Jesus.
What can I say? I think I know why you're happy tonight. Drugs.
Yeah, baby. You notice what he leads off with here? You know?
Yeah, let's start with the good news. California, Nevada, Maine, and Maryland legalized recreational marijuana.
Florida. Okay, Maryland. What does Maryland wrap around? The place that already has recreational pot. Washington, D.C. Everybody in D.C. realizes the House of Cards is collapsing, and they're like, fuck that. We're getting some chronic legal. I'm going to need it. I'm going to keep doing this bullshit job fucking people over. Yes. And yes. God bless cannabis.
And North Dakota. North Dakota's on the page now. With medical, this election gave us permission to smoke weed. And a reason we need to. Colorado legalized assisted suicide. I know what you're saying. Road trip. I mean,
come on now. If you listen to this podcast and you lean on the right, you got to take the good with the bad. Your guy's in. He's your bro. Trumpsters everywhere. Yeah, baby, he's our man. Well, you do realize you're going to get barbecued from the left. And I don't know. Go to Colorado, smoke a lot of weed, get really high. And then end your life. I can see that road trip.
The closest thing I can compare this to is like it's like a night after hard drinking. You know, where you see who you lie next to, who you're waking up lying next to, and you're like, what have I done? Maybe if I pretend I'm asleep, they'll get their things and leave. I mean, can you imagine someone who has been in a coma for the last 2 years just waking up? Hey, man, you know the guy from The Celebrity Apprentice? Yeah, he's the president now. And the cake boss is Pope. And Bill Cosby's the drug czar. So
that's the rule of threes in comedy. Always hit him with the third one.
And you know, Republicans, they didn't just win the White House. They won Congress. The Senate, the House of Representatives, which means I've got the Supreme Court. This is a very good time to have fuck you money and a bad time to be an animal or a plant. He wants to get rid of the EPA and replace the environment with something terrific.
Alec Baldwin on election night. You know, he's sitting around. Is he married? I don't know. He's been tagging some snaggle for several decades now. Alec Baldwin's sitting there, and his agent's on the phone with him. It's like, let's say he's in L.A., so it's about midnight our time, about 9 p.m., and his agent's going, Trump's going to win, dude. And Baldwin's like, yeah, looks like it. And he goes, dude, Lorne Michaels is going to have to cut you an open check. And Alec Baldwin, you ever see the movie Dave? Yeah, with Costner. Who's the other guy? Yeah, the Kevin. Klein. And he's a doppelganger for the president and, you know, blah, blah, blah. President has a stroke, so he has to fill in for him. Well, can you imagine anybody right now in America that looks like Trump? Those guys? They're all going to be, like, getting hired to, like, open up, like, new car dealerships and shit. You know? But they might need to, like, make their skin a little bit more orange.
They are literally floating the idea of Sarah Palin for Secretary of the Interior.
That's because Brando's got electrolytes. I mean, seriously, I read 1984 and 1979. And I'm like, there's no way the world's going to, no way. There is no way the world is going to become like that vision. And it was like 5 years before it was supposed to take place. And I was like, are you kidding me? I got a B on my essay because I didn't believe the bullshit. I was like, I doubt very much that, you know, we'll have cameras every, everyone'll have cameras watching us and complete imbeciles running the show. And escalated police presence. And, oh, yeah, the two continents constantly at war for 100 years. None of that's going to happen. That's so stupid. I don't know who this guy is. And I hope he's got something inside of him that is gallant and brave and has nothing to do with his ego. You know, that I always call it the Braveheart moment, when you have a chance to stand up for something that's way bigger than you and you stop worrying about what people think of you and you go, listen, this needs to change, or I need to stand up for that moment. Those moments happen to all of us in our lifetime. We call them forks in the road. Choose this, choose that. Trump may have been just jerking our chain. And who knows, maybe on election night he's like, holy fuck, I'm the fucking president. Holy fuck, I'm the president. I just want to go to Cabo. You know? But he's the prez. And people like this are going to skewer his ass. Good, by the way. I would say the same thing on the other side. If Clinton won, when we're like on the preface of World War III, I would hope people on the right would be attacking Hillary Clinton going, stop being a mad woman. I'm about the world getting better. I could care less what side of the fence or what libertarian or Green Party or right or left. I don't care. I care about the truth, and the truth is always about the betterment of the whole. And I don't mean that in some socialist way. I mean, independence is a beautiful thing. But I'm talking about decisions being made from powerful people at powerful levels that do benefit the whole. No, we're not going to frack that 100 acres of farmland. We're going to put a solar field there. Megawatts of sunlight. Well, guess what? What happens to big natural gas? They lose, literally, some of their power. But when people are learning more and more about what way is a better way, what way is a worse way, I don't think escalating tensions with Syria and/slash Russia is a good way. Now, does Trump step up? Do we see him sitting down? Do we have who is that? What was that? The guy in Poland. I can't pronounce his name right, but you know I'm talking about. This was like one of the first Soviet satellites to stand up and say, you know what, fuck you. And the people and him fought the system. I am hoping, as much as I think he's Donald fucking Trump, that this guy doesn't need an extra dollar in his pocket. And I think, hopefully, his ego will feed off of people who actually believe he's going to better the situation. Now, I don't know about the wall. I don't know about what he said. You know, oh, you're defending a racist. You know what? I'm not defending what he said. I'm asking, what is the man capable of doing? Who does he put around him? What are the policies? And how that pans out? That's what I'm concerned with. Because I have friends that are great people, but believe me, they've dropped a racist sentence or two in my ear. That's for sure. But I don't judge them completely on that. I judge them on, wow, that guy's a hell of a father to his daughter and that kind of stuff. So I can't decide on Donald Trump yet. I can't. But what I am doing is paying attention. I'm just waiting for him to just fuck it up. Or the exact opposite, waiting for him to like pull some kind of fuck you, I'm Harry Truman moment. Screw Congress. Screw this. America's asking for that, whatever that is. And I'm hopefully thinking things like less Homeland Security, closing down Guantanamo. I don't know. I can dream.
I'm not even sure she sleeps indoors. I mean, they're going to get rid of Obamacare, probably get rid of Roe versus Wade. So, you know what? Enjoy your victory.
Now, wait a minute now. Do you think, honestly, every politician who's on the right, not every, lots of them run anti-abortion or, you know, pro-life, and every time they're elected, anything they do or fail to do or try to do gets shot down? Pence is the guy I'm thinking about right now. Do you honestly think there's a mandate in our country to stop abortion? I don't know. I don't know how you feel about those things. But I do know if you're anti-abortion, you're definitely religious. But every time you start thinking about it, the way the Muslims want the world and the way the Muslims want this, and the way the Muslims want that, you ever ask yourself about the people on the hard right when it comes to Christianity and how your belief system is influencing what everybody else might have to deal with? It's easy to point out, oh, you know, we need to count the Muslims and have them registered and put a tattoo on their forearm and put them in big old hot boxes. Hey, we did it to the Japanese in World War II. People that were American citizens, they just happened to be born in Japan or of Japanese heritage. We put about 120,000 of them behind barbed wire during World War II because we were all scared. This guy is suggesting a registry. I don't think it's going to happen. But I want that conversation out in the public. Now, I want people talking about it. I want to know who I'm dealing with. Oh, really? You think maybe we should tattoo their arms? You know, if you get to that level, and someone's that afraid of a Muslim, you know, guy that lives next door to them in some town or some city, that's how we're going to not call it out, but get to know who we're dealing with when it comes to the true opinions of people in this country. And by the way, this is why Trump won. This is why the polls were off, quote unquote. It's because a lot of people were going to vote for Donald Trump, but couldn't admit they were going to vote for Donald Trump because they didn't want to come across as believing in everything this man has said and done. It's embarrassing to think I'm going to vote for a man who has said some of the things he has said about other races and so on. It's documented. The videos are everywhere. But I am so afraid that Hillary's going to yank us into World War III. I am tired of 15 years of war. I don't know what's going on anymore. It just seems like she's the system. The bankers paid her, you know, and, you know, the Clinton Foundation's a clusterfuck too. So I'm going to vote for Trump because as whacked as he is, I would still rather have him than Hillary Clinton and the neocons and everybody else and that bulldozer of dominance called globalism, where we're somehow destined to run the world. People chose Trump because of that. And there's just that piece of me that goes, please be the spoiler. Come in because your ego and everybody else, and you know, people used to call you the Donald dude. Don't tell me you don't have an ego. But please, you're in a position to create amazing conversation about really, truthfully, you know, term limits or whatever he talks about, the things that matter, the things where he could start, you know, the pendulum swings one way for a while and then it swings way over to the left and swings to the right. I don't know why it's going where it's going, but I'm hoping I can trust that. And that's why I love Facebook and Twitter. Paula said to me, Paula from Q105 said to me today, she goes, you're an instigator. I go, I'm not an instigator. I'm a conversation starter. I love being able to put something out there that's a little edgy, and then I just read down the timeline, and you find out what people are all about. There was a soldier turned away from a restaurant the other day on Veterans Day. You know what? That's bullshit. Of course it is. Absolute bullshit. But the person that posted that said this is the most, well, let me see if I can choose a close enough word, unbelievably, upsetting, that type of phrase. This is the most upsetting thing I've seen in since I can remember. And I just took about four pictures of dead kids that have been killed by cluster bombs in Yemen. And I sent them that, and I go, okay, so the veteran couldn't get the meal. I get that. I'm with you. Where do these rank? When are you going to care? When does any of that filter into what really matters to you? Because right now, you're pissed because the guy got kicked out of Denny's or couldn't get a breakfast, and he actually was a veteran. What cracks me up is how many people still support the militarism of what we do and are absolutely upset that this country treats veterans like shit, but are still gung-ho every time we drop a bomb somewhere. What the fuck? It's a machine. The machine takes you, turns you into a hero, spits you out with one leg instead of two. Now we got to put you on television and make people donate because we're not going to take care of you. We suck you into the machine. You become a warrior for the machine. But then when you get hurt, fuck you. We're not going to take care of you. That's what you support. Let's not pretend that for 15 years this country's been at war. Afghanistan is the longest war in the history of the United States. Russia lasted a decade there before they went bankrupt. And that's when we created the Taliban and Osama bin Laden to fight Russia. The CIA fed them money in the 80s. Iran-Contra. This machine doesn't give a fuck about you and your 24-year-old brother who just lost an arm. They're just going to invent a bunch of scientists, put a bunch of scientists there to give you an artificial arm, and they put it on Facebook and go, oh, look at what he can do. He can brush his teeth. You'd still have your other arm if you weren't being bullshitted. If you weren't just sucked into the machine that didn't give a fuck about you. And they don't. Military-industrial complex is a multi-billion, if not close to trillion-dollar industry every year when you bring into account every defense contractor and everything that is connected to the military and the military budget and the amount of people who wear a uniform and the amount of veterans who are getting benefits. We are Rome. That is the Army. If we're defending liberty, if we're defending democracy in a republic, I got you back. But we're not. We're an aggressive empire. Out of control with our own hubris and our own technology. And it's been that way pretty much during World War II all the way to today. Because after World War II, the military-industrial complex was like, fuck, we were making a ton of money. What's up? They wanted Vietnam. And they wanted every other skirmish since then. And then when PNAC, after what happened, of course, with the Soviets in the 80s, and they collapsed trying to get into Afghanistan so they could control some of the resources, they failed. They went bankrupt. The wall falls in Germany. Suddenly, there's no boogeyman. Well, you can't sell weapons when there's no boogeyman. Up comes 9/11. Voila. It's like when you look at the timeline and you see the false flags, Oklahoma City or, you know, London 7/7 bombings, and you look who was up for election at the time. More and more people were, you know, pushing back against the fear of Homeland Security and all that. And then suddenly there's another event that takes place. When you can step back and look at all that, you are so free. Because you're not connected to the one side of an opinion or another. You're just looking at the drama play itself out in front of your cluttered eyes where you can literally look and see what's happening. And look at it and go, oh, yeah. That's Syria. It's all about a pipeline. Pipelines, plural. The reason it is because they're right there on the Mediterranean. And if you had natural gas up in the Caspian Basin near the Caspian Sea, and it's all landlocked, and there's tons, I mean, literally trillions of dollars of natural gas and oil up there, there's no way to get it to a shipping lane unless you pipe that oil somewhere, and guess where that fucking pipeline's going? It's not about Assad being a dictator. It's not about a Bin Laden. It's not about Saddam Hussein. It's not about Muammar Gaddafi. It's about this strategic or economic or resource-based drama that those countries presented to an empire. Wesley Clark, 7 countries in 5 years. Google it. I want to believe that Trump sees the forest for the trees, wants to, I don't want to close our borders, but I wouldn't mind some tariffs and some taxes on some goods. I wouldn't mind if that report, by the way, was it Ford or Chevy that decided not to go to Mexico and will stay in Ohio? I'm not a nationalist, but this country needs to take care of itself and lick its own wounds and take care of its own infrastructure. And that all starts with energy. You get energy at the top of that food chain, and this country will rebound. And I, when I mean rebound, I don't mean some tyrannical fucking Death Star. I mean the light on the shine on the hill, you know, the one that says we're going to lead the way by setting an example on how we treat people, our citizens, our resources, our nature, and everything in between. I'm hoping for that. Now, when I say all that, I don't picture Donald fucking Trump. I'm hoping this guy just literally is like, give him hell, Harry, like some man that became president because someone else died. Or, and at first, he's an egomaniac, and he's he's Trump. But then later on, he's like laying awake at night going, you know what? I really do want to fix things. I wish I could believe that is this guy. But much like the amazing drama that's playing out in front of me in this matrix called the three-dimensional universe, I'm going to give it time. I'm going to give it time. Now, everyone's going to get to joke about it. And if anybody has anything legitimate to say about who he chooses or how it's being run or decisions being made or bills he's vetoed right on down the process, awesome. Hold this fucker accountable. But at least give him a chance.
Trump voters, because when you're dying because you don't have health insurance to treat the infection you got from a back alley abortion you had to get because of fetal lead poisoning, you can say to yourself, at least I didn't vote for someone with a private email server.
I don't think abortion's gone anywhere, and I think that's all fear text. You got to remember, both sides use fear to not only justify their points of view, but to make the opposite side look like something you should fear. Should a woman give up the rights to her body and the choices she can make to her body to any political process at all? No. That's why Roe versus Wade has stood. Dozens and dozens of politicians have said, oh, we're going to shoot that down. Oh, really? And the moment they get into office, it fizzles because they need that Christian right base voters. Those people believe what they believe. You're not going to change their minds. Don't try. They're allowed to believe what they believe, just as you are allowed to believe what you believe, as long as it doesn't come to, like he said, some woman in a back alley who gets infected because she can't get an illegal abortion and dies of an infection, and we're moving backwards into time, into the, you know. Will that happen? Doubt it. I do. I really do. Everybody seems to think the right is the only one that uses fear with false flag and shit like that. The left preys on it as well.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, what? One other little detail about the election. Hillary won. This, you know, she won the popular vote, probably by 1.5 million. It just happened that there were more Trump supporters in the places where it counted, like Moscow.
He's so funny. I think they all thought that Hillary's... I thought she was the chosen one. You know, banks don't pay you or your husband like $750,000, $750,000 to come give a 40-minute speech unless they think that you'll remember them when you're president. And she took all that money and all those speeches and all that Clinton Foundation shit because they thought, oh, she's the next one. We need to... Do you think the banks would have given her a fucking dime if they thought Donald Trump was going to win? I love how it's blowing up in Citibank's face right now. But we are talking about Donald Trump. A man who loves sitting around with bankers and figuring out how he can fuck you out of 0.5%. So I honestly don't know what's going on, but I do know the system is being shook. Now... And he said, oh, that's the Illuminati. So we'll all think we still have a choice. People are questioning the system. Podcasts are taking place. Well, over the last 5 days, I've seen nothing but huge amounts of stories where social media sites are now going to start to possibly decide what is a real news site versus a fake news site. Suddenly CNN and MSNBC and Fox, suddenly you get a, 100% truth. Oh, yeah, they're the legitimate source. This is awesome. We are seeing the media attack the media that's attacking the media. This is a beautiful thing. More and more people are exposed. More and more people have a Pinterest or Facebook or Twitter. More and more people can watch a YouTube video or subscribe to a channel. And I mean, there are people weighing in from halfway around the globe that now have 400,000 to 500,000 subscribers. And a woman that actually lives in Syria is telling you what the majority of everyone thinks. And the reason the Syrian people are backing Assad is because they recognize the big PNAC, Project for the New American Century, picture. They saw the Wesley Clark video, and they realized that Syria was one of the 7 strategic locations that the neocons, oil companies, large conglomerates needed to control. Period. But Russia has always been their ally. And over the last year, during Obama's last year, it's kind of been, you know, where there's been some bad stuff, by the way, and a lot of local people and citizens killed. The migrant crisis is out. It's off the charts. So, frankly, I don't care who stands at the national anthem, and I really don't care what veteran didn't get fed at Denny's. Because on that level, I get it. Okay, that's cool. But you know what? I would prefer to put my energies into how do we slow the degradation of mankind because fewer and fewer, more powerful people control more and more of everything. True monopolies. And when you see the media, any media, starting to really whiplash and attack so-called new media, internet media, fake news websites. By the way, yeah, most of it's fake. Not most of it, but go to each website. Click on the link. Scientists discover blah, blah, blah. Click on the link. If it takes you to some bullshit site, click on that link. And I've been caught. I've deleted, I think I said earlier in the show, probably about 8 to 10 links over the last couple of years. Decide for yourself. I would recommend you stay outside an argument and you can see both sides. You'll learn from both. You'll understand that the ebb and flow of, you know, from thinking too conservatively to too liberally and back and forth and see the extremism it created. I would say the Republican Party showed their face from the 80s forward. And then when you got to about 2000, you saw the left start to show their face with too much entitlement. So that little tug and war, or just I kind of picture like two rams, you know, they're locking horns and they push each other back and that pendulum kind of swings. Well, we're now starting to see the backlash of 8 years of Obama. And when it comes to the nationalist viewpoint of what America is compared to the rest of the world, I'm anti-Obama. When it comes to a couple of things he's done, you know, obviously socially, by recognizing the gay and bi and transgender and everyone in that whole area. And if you're scared by that, then you need to wake the fuck up. But I'm not saying the man was a complete curse on us, but I am saying that we are headed into a very bad place because the people that control our empire and the people that control our military, and those people stand to make a lot of money every time we need to drop another bomb on another country. So if we're going to start really paying attention to this, I would say I hope Donald Trump, I know, strong on military, you know, it's, when you lean right, I get it. You just do. But the idea that Putin wanted to talk to him, let's see what happens. Carter helped Christ, Egypt, and Israel create a treaty way back in 1980. Wouldn't it be nice to see some people sit down at a table and go, okay, we get it. You want some of our oil and our titanium. Here's the deal. We want a piece of this and a piece of that. And, you know, and not that America's actually honored too many of its, just ask the Native Americans about that, but maybe the escalation of fear because Donald Trump's president, God, I'm wishing out loud, aren't I? We'll see. All right, Bill, a couple more cheesy jokes.
But also, to be honest, Wisconsin and Michigan and Pennsylvania and Ohio, all week long, I've been seeing on TV white men weeping like they just won some long, hard-fought civil rights battle. Move over, women and gays and minorities. It's our turn now. White women went for Trump by 10 points. How does that grab you, ladies? Hispanics. He won almost a third of Hispanics. Turns out the Mexicans are hoping he'll kick out the Colombians.
I think what you're seeing here is the Clinton oligarchy backlash. Not necessarily a lot of people, you know, the FBI files and the so-called emails. And we all know that this woman has a trail of bodies behind her as well as her husband. I think that had reached its... In other words, it was like, no way, Hillary. No way. Absolutely not. Because she's going to go in the same direction Obama had steered us, in the same direction that Bush had steered us. And that is more wars and not moving towards green fuels like hemp and algae and so on. And I think part of what Trump represents, and this happens too, by the way, when a president's in their second term, in other words, a Democrat has owned the office for eight years, the person that's trying to keep that mojo going as a Democrat usually loses to the Republicans on a 2-to-1 basis. Because people, by then, people want the pendulum going in the other direction. And the people that have felt neglected or rejected are the ones that are more active, more vocal, and definitely more engaged and involved in the process. social media has magnified everything I have told you tonight by 10, maybe 20. Because this was taking place in the 60s. But the only place you could see it was the Hartford Courant. So-and-so dies in Vietnam. Here's the death toll. I don't know if you remember Walter Cronkite, or Dan Rather, but they used to have those really old black and white graphics over their shoulder, and it would say, dead and wounded. I remember watching that. I was 7, 8, 9 years old during Vietnam. And I remember that was the only place you could have form an opinion about whether you liked the war or not. Dan Rather's there, and there's fucking lead flying over his head. When you see those old videos, that's the only way you could have formed your opinion. There wasn't 20 different newspapers and, oh, who knows. When you compare what the internet brings you right now and choices, when you just type something into Google, you could go down to 30 different websites and have 30 different slightly different opinions. I mean, you know what? You're going to be well-rounded. You're going to be informed. And I think that's the beautiful thing that's happening now. Sure, it's ugly and messy. It's like a birth, man. It's always like that. The baby comes out all covered in bloody mucus, and you're like, yeah. And I remember when my daughter came out, man. She's fucking purple. She's purple. The oxygen hadn't hit her skin yet. Literally looking like something out of fucking Freddy Krueger, and I'm like, ah. Oh. Like an hour later, she's all pink and cuddly. So I'm not saying that's Donald Trump, but I am saying I am glad that this man is here to stir the sticks and fucking have haters. The haters are going to be paying attention. Lovers are going to be paying attention. There's nothing more polarizing than a polarizing person, especially someone with this office. This is a good thing. It's not a good thing that he might be a racist or is a racist or people look past that. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is Clinton would have been the same direction, period. And where we were headed wasn't good. I'm not talking about her husband or what did Colin Powell say? Bill's still dick and bimbos. Those Colin Powell emails are awesome. Still dick and bimbos. Colin Powell fishing. What's your opinion of former President Bill Clinton? Hey, still dick and bimbos. WikiLeaks. You know what would be cool? If Trump pardons WikiLeaks, Assange, and Snowden. You want to talk about you're going to start to open up the society, create more transparency, remove the sludge from the swamp. These are the actions people will believe. And you can have an opinion about Snowden. But right now, if it wasn't for him, you or I would not know that the NSA not only listens to this, but they listen to everything you say into your phone. When I say they listen, I don't picture a person on the other side. It's a computer and an algorithm, and it's funneled to a massive storage facility in Utah, and it sits there. Every little text, if you're having an affair, it's stored somewhere. Your private life isn't private. Snowden proved that to us. Is this the guy to publicly talk about that and say, you know what? You may not like him. But it's always the people that are heroes in a republic. Usually start off as the vilified ones. But later on, history is a matter of dates. I don't know if that's Trump. I want to believe that this is the stick in the spokes where part of him just doesn't give a fuck what the military-industrial complex thinks right now. But those are also the other guys that end up, you know, like Kennedy. It is not a boring time to be alive. Remember, like, the day before the election, everybody was like, oh, it's going to be great when Hillary finally wins and the election's over, then Facebook will get back to normal. Well, that didn't work, did it? The, you know, if you notice, I'm playing everything, well, not everything from the left, but I am playing stuff where people, are, you're starting to, what the hell happened there? No. There we go. Sorry. We'll have to queue up. I said this, did I say this last week or the week before? You really don't know people until you see them not get their way or lose. That's when you truly discover what people are like. Not when everything's going their way. You know, everybody puts on the facade of, hey, yeah, we did good, you know? You know what I mean? So here we are with John Oliver. You heard Bill Maher. By the way, I've noticed I'm sobering up, that the alcohol is leaving my system here. But, I don't know, man. Jeff was, I run into him all the time, and I always, you know, he's like, let me buy a shot. I'm like, no. And I said, yeah. Like, and then I'm looking like, shit, I got to do a podcast. Oh, well.
And let us begin with our first and only story, the 2016 election. Or as you may know it, I thought I wanted it to be over, but now that it's over, I wish it was still going on, because it turns out the ending is even worse, 2016.
It is the hashtag, too, by the way. Hashtag 2016. And it was trending, let me see, his show was Sunday night. Yeah, it was trending Monday, I saw it. It's pretty cool. So listen, we're gonna kind of scroll and roll with him for another 20 minutes or so, and we're going to call it. But I kind of want to restate. I see so many varied opinions on Facebook now, and I'm friends or acquaintances with so many of you that I love it. Speak your mind. Try to not have it be about fear-related issues. If you're afraid of another religion, you know what? Here's a cuddle, cool. Go meet a Muslim, have them explain their religion to you, and learn a bit about that person. Wouldn't you want them to do the same for you if you were hardcore Christian and why you believed in Jesus and all those things? Wouldn't you want them to know more about you? Well, don't be afraid to do the same thing. Because I don't think this registry is going anywhere, but it is something he did say publicly. I asked, I think it was Cynthia tonight, yes, and I said, you know, Is this being proven that this man actually said that? And, you know, what are the odds now? Remember, Republicans control Senate and Congress when it comes to passing a bill. If he proposes the bill, what does Congress do with it? Or if Congress proposes the bill, what does he do with it? I got a feeling it's a bunch of rhetoric. It may never see the light of day, but the moment it does, there goes his hall pass. The moment a man wants to start a registry and hasn't looked into the early years of Nazi Germany, and who knows what the percentage of Americans are that will go for this if it happens, just pay attention to that. I think that's vital. And if you do believe in that, honestly, wow, you're a scared motherfucker. And by the way, you really haven't looked into how things went downhill very quickly in Germany in the late 30s. I joke about a lot of things on the show, and I try to have fun and keep my sense of humor as I move through this little cosmic, wonderful exercise of my consciousness. And I'm very grateful for everything, and I'm trying to look at what's happening for me from the other side of any fence I have a tendency to lean on, whether the direction is one way or the other. And this is what I'm trying to do with Trump. Maybe I'm talking myself into it, but we'll know soon enough. Most people know very, very soon what he's about. And I mean, you know, that's why they call it the first 100 days. All right. We've heard two television hosts absolutely gag after what happened. Let's go to three.
The results on Tuesday were a little different than what just over half the voters wanted.
We can now project the winner of the presidential race. CNN projects Donald Trump wins the presidency. Donald J. Trump will become the 45th president of the United States.
It's true. That happened. It turns out, instead of showing our daughters that they could someday be president, America proved that no grandpa is too racist to become leader of the free world.
Okay. Showing our daughters, in other words, electing Hillary because she has a vagina. Yeah, that's right. You have a vagina. You can be president, too. I prefer qualifications. That whole elect Hillary because she's a woman, it was just as much bullshit. And, you know, I'm not a woman. And I'm also not a black man. And if I voted for Barack Obama, and I did in 08, I didn't in 12, I didn't do it because I was like, yeah, let's put a black man in there and see what he can do. It was because he conned me with a hope and change after the neocon run with W for 8. You know, pretty much figured out he was... That's when you really awaken, is when you look to one side and blame them, and you look to your so-called side, and suddenly you realize there's no difference in their actions, just in their label and the color of tie they wear. That's when you start to realize things. So electing Hillary because she is a woman is just as insane as, you know, Barack Obama being elected because he's a black man. That has nothing to do with, you know, it shouldn't. It shouldn't matter either way. It shouldn't stop him, but it shouldn't be the reason. His reasons should be his qualifications. So, John Oliver is minus 1 point.
Look, Papa, someday that could be you. Now, if you're like me, the implications of this have been hitting you in waves. One minute you're numb, and the next minute you realize that Donald Trump, this man, will soon have access to the nuclear codes. And then maybe...
They always go there, too, like, you know. This man, Donald Trump, will have to oversee a cabinet and many different differential areas of government. It's always, oh, yeah, we're going to give him the 9-digit number and the red button. Fear. When I started to stumble down the rabbit hole, I kept saying, because when I did, you have to remember, neocons were in charge. And they were the purveyors of fear, you know, Osama bin Laden and everything else in Iraq and all that. So I was fearing based on what I was told by people on the right. Well, what the fuck is this guy doing? He's doing the same thing. Oh, well, Donald Trump's going to nuke the world now. Now, I know he's joking, and I know it's, you know, it is hyperbole and it is entertainment, but it is not, it is the phrase I've been hearing since he was elected. Oh, great. Now he's got the nuclear codes. Like, he's the only guy. Like, there are no fail-safes anywhere. It's just him in a big red plunger in his bedroom after he does a line of coke. There are stopgaps. So he's minus 2.
Distracted by daily life until it hits you again. Oh, our future president was supported by a former grand wizard of the Klan and 60 million people.
Okay,
voted for-
Donald Trump did not ask to be endorsed by the Klan, but from what I understand, didn't he reject the endorsement? Because you can fucking Hannibal Lecter endorse you, but it's not like you asked him to. Do you see the amount of fear that's being thrown at people? Do you see the way they take the same wedge issues? You know, I used to think it was only right-winged media. You know, the Glenn Becks and the Hannitys and the Jabba the, what's his name from Fox News there? Bill O'Reilly, Jabba O'Reilly. I used to say, well, geez, they are constantly throwing this Islamic fear at us and so on. And now I'm seeing, because the left is about to lose its stranglehold, or that's not the right word. The left is about to lose its position in the White House, and now it's fear, fear, fear. Now, I can't say for not whether he got rid of this endorsement. So, and I don't feel like looking it up right now to delay the broadcast. But let's just hope he did.
Him despite that. And then maybe you finally manage to get some sleep, but then you wake up realizing, oh shit, the Supreme Court. Because remember Merrick Garland, who the Republicans have refused to confirm all year? You know, the guy whom we asked you to choose a Supreme Court dog for.
You do know that any time an incumbent and a lame duck president in his second term nominates anybody to the Supreme Court, you know people on the other side of that just go, pfft. All we got to do is wait you out. And that's what's happened here. Now let's talk about who might end up in that.
Actually picked this one, by the way. We never announced it because we figured that we would tell you when he was confirmed. Well, he's not getting confirmed, and that dog is dead now. No, actually, not really. She is fine, but she's not getting on the court.
Donald Trump will fill that seat, and maybe more. Ruth Bader Ginsburg is in her 80s. Anthony Kennedy is over 80. And there are other justices who've talked, bandied about the idea of retiring. Bottom line, Donald Trump is going to shape the Supreme Court for decades to come.
This is interesting. This is a legitimate conversation. And I'm not a hardcore religious right person, but let me tell you, the ones that are over there are salivating right now. How far back to the right does this pendulum swing? Does it lead to progress in our own country? Infrastructure, green jobs, everything, you know. Everything from lowered emissions to electronic vehicles to solar energy and all the things I'm kind of geeked about seeing in the next half decade. And how much of this has its roots anchored in religion? And what decisions reach the Supreme Court if they go through the normal chain of events? And what, I'm sorry, not what decisions, but what topics, and then what decisions from the Supreme Court are kicked back? This is going to be an interesting time. This is an argument about the presidency I didn't argue with anybody. I said, yes, a lot of the SCOTUS are old fuckers, and they're ready to bow out, and this could change things severely. And I mean, very lopsided. You know, I don't mind opinions on the left and the right, but I do mind if the deck is stacked.
Wow, that is one of those phrases you just assumed you would never have to hear. Like Vanilla Ice is picking up his Nobel Prize in physics. Or Henry Kissinger just came out with a line of skinny jeans. They go with everything. Now, it has been wave after wave of nausea all week. I woke up on Thursday feeling fractionally better, but then I turned on the TV and saw Trump in the Oval Office with President Obama. And just look at the president's face there. He cannot believe what he's looking at either. In fact, just listen to the actual audio in that room.
Right now, if I could describe Obama's face, I'm trying to like tie it into something else. Let's say that you're in a beauty pageant and you know that you have more talent and beauty than the girl whose mom is part of the election committee. And when she wins, you just kind of give her that look like, We all know. And Obama is looking at Trump like that right now, like, holy shit. The next 100 days are going to be fascinating. I mean, you know, this is straight out of Idiocracy. This is, you know, Ronald Reagan was an actor. He was a president. You know, we look at some of this stuff, and then we realize that, you know, life continues on, the sun comes up, and people go out there and do their own thing. But what comes to light? What ends? What gets pulled back? What gets accelerated? Do we see a fold, a fivefold or tenfold increase in fracking? because for some reason, and by the way, he's supposed to drain the swamp. The swamp was obviously everyone who's out there lobbying for anything, and he was not supposed to install any lobbyists. Then the list had grown, and it looked like it was nothing but lobbyists. And as of this broadcast, it looks like Pence has douched that list. So I don't know. We don't know yet. But let's hope he kind of does literally clean the slate and bring in some fresh minds and people that aren't all about making money for some natural gas fracking company in the Midwest.
Fun fact, that is the new national anthem now. You see, we're laughing, we're having fun. And then you remember, Trump's going to be in charge of the military, and leaders there do not know what to expect.
They have seen Donald Trump's statements on the campaign trail, talking about waterboarding, talking about bombing with little regard to civilian casualties, talking about taking the oil in Iraq. All of these things potentially very serious violations of international law, violations of the Geneva Convention.
Yes, our president-elect has at various times said he'd bomb civilians, loot oil, and waterboard, which isn't a military strategy so much as the series of...
Wait a minute now. We've bombed civilians, we waterboarded, and you bet your ass we got our finger on the tap of some oil wells. And that's under Bush and Obama. I'm not defending Trump, believe me. I personally think the man's a buffoon. I'm hoping he will prove me wrong. I am hoping... But here we are again, John Oliver. Oh, this man's going to come in and do this, this, and this. Oh, by the way, we've already done it, or we're still doing it. What do you call tonight's show? Ledge came in buzzed. And then came to the realization that both sides use the same tactics. No matter who's in charge, the other side's job is to make you afraid of that, or him, or her. And again, this man's going to have to work hard to prove me wrong, because I think he's just a talking head.
That Donald Rumsfeld mutters so he can stay hard while he's masturbating.
By the way, that's a joke you got to revisit.
Yes, our president-elect has at various times said he'd bomb civilians, loot oil, and waterboard, which isn't a military strategy so much as the series of words that Donald Rumsfeld mutters so he can stay hard while he's masturbating. And look, look, Trump won this election.
Rumsfeld is responsible for all three of those things. So is Obama.
By which I mean he won the Electoral College, which for reasons I will never understand, no matter how many times it's explained to me, is how things are done. And many people, it's important to remember, many people are happy to see him in office. Some are voters who think he'll bring jobs back and shake up Washington. Others are happy simply because he isn't Hillary Clinton. And others, of course, are Vladimir Putin and Scott Baio. But for the rest of us, we are faced with the same questions.
So during the election... Trump apparently got those emails from Russia. Doubt it. It's actually been proven different. When WikiLeaks releases those emails, they do it on their own. They don't need Russia's help. Those emails that kind of showed us a side of Hillary we hadn't seen, some of us suspected. Let me just back that up just a notch. There we go.
Because he isn't Hillary Clinton, and others, of course, are Vladimir Putin and Scott Baio.
Putin's been reaching out to this guy since he got elected. Now, the hardcore people on the right are like, don't trust them damn Ruskies. People on the left, probably almost the same opinion. They're certainly not anti-war on the left like they used to be. So let me ask you, what is wrong with the president of one of the most powerful countries in the world reaching out to the president of the most powerful country in the world and say, let's de-escalate tensions in Syria and so on? Oh, he's doing deals with the Ruskies. No, he's creating peace. These are all the things I'm hoping Trump will do. Now, in 300 days when the entire shit has hit the fan, and I have this show on a thumb drive, this show will always be known as What Could Have Been. Because right now, it's Donald Trump. Inside this guy, is there, like, you know, the Braveheart guy? The guy that goes, you know what? I don't know how I got here, and I have bullshitted my way through life, and there are things about me that I need to learn, that I'm now sitting in one of the most important and responsible locations and jobs in the goddamn free world, if not the most. And I'm not going to take it as a joke. I don't know how I landed here, but now that I'm here, I want to not be Donald Trump. I want to be some president who fell out of the sky and most people doubted and some people absolutely believed in. And I want to try and reverse the direction of globalism, the reduction of our quality of life in America, the idea that schooling and cancer treatments and everything that costs so much money and insurance, and those conversations need to be out in the public. We need to talk about it. Is this guy? I wish. I really do. He might, he hasn't been completely anti-cannabis. There are, I guess you could say, at least 100 questions you'd ask him about 100 different topics in American politics, and hopefully between him and his staff, he can come to a conclusion in how he thinks he can better it or control it if it's out of control and those kind of things. I really hope that under the skin of the goofy, big mouth Donald Trump is a man who can surprise me. Now, with that being said, over the last 89, 90 minutes, honestly, I don't think so. I'm not hedging my bets here. I'm just saying that it takes quite a backbone and quite a person of conviction to stand in that office and start taking care of the whole. Way more than the small, the subsidies, big pharma, big agra, big oil. And start to change the way things are done. I wish this man was that tough guy. I don't think he is. I think he's a tough guy. You're fired on cameras. But I don't think he's the type of guy that realizes he's going to be fucking with a shadow government. And the moment he does that, that maybe his time is limited. But he's going to, you know, Gandhi. The people that said, you know what? What I'm going to do sometimes is not popular. But let's just start to turn this shit around, and I'm going to be the guy that does it, regardless of what I'm told in quiet conversations in dark rooms. Is that Donald Trump? People didn't think that was Kennedy. When he got elected, his dad was crooked. He got him elected. He owed the bootleggers and the mob a ton of favors, and suddenly he didn't want to go Nam, the military-industrial complex. He was going to go up against the Fed by re-releasing silver certificates of money. And we know what happened to him. I gotta hope that somewhere deep down inside of this guy is the leader that most of us, realistically looking at him, haven't noticed yet. And I'd really want to believe that this guy, who is now the 45th president of the United States of America, is legit. Now, to lighten it up, I'm going to let this man complain for a couple minutes. We'll be back to close it up.
But for the rest of us, we are faced with the same questions as a guy that woke up the day after a Vegas bachelor party, deep in the desert, naked, tied to a cactus and a dead clown. Namely, how the fuck did we get here, and what the fuck do we do now? Because Donald Trump will be president. And respecting democracy means accepting that. Although, there is one sentiment that I would argue takes that a little too far.
The man hasn't even been a president for a day yet. All right, let's give him a chance to be the president.
Give Donald Trump a chance.
We now have to give him a chance and see how he's going to govern.
The American people should give him a chance to govern, because if he succeeds, we succeed.
Now, in the broadest sense, I get that impulse. Hope for the best in the face of very long odds. It's like we're on a plane and we just found out our pilot is a wombat. I don't like this, I don't understand how it happened, and I'm pretty sure we're headed for disaster, but what the hell? Come on, Batty, prove me wrong! And the thing is, optimism is nice if you can swing it, but you've got to be careful, because it can feed into the normalization of Donald Trump, and he is not normal. He is abnormal. He's a human what-is-wrong-with-this-picture. He sticks out like a sore thumb, and frankly, he even looks like a sore thumb. So giving him a chance in the sense of not speaking out immediately against policies that he's proposed is dangerous, because some of them are alarming.
Just some of Trump's promises: repeal and replace Obamacare.
Okay. He is saying he would keep some of the things in Obamacare and consider not rejecting the entire program, but refining the program. I guess that's a good way to put it. So that's what was said, 2 days ago?
Wall along the southern border with Mexico and get Mexico to
haven't heard him say anything about the wall yet, but obviously for people that are very nationalist and kind of forget the roots of how our country became our country after we stole it from the Native Americans, the whole idea of building a wall, you know, 30 feet high and 20 feet under the ground and everything that was promised. Will this become a comic moment? Will this become something that he just slowly backs away from and doesn't address? People are going to hold him to this, because a lot of people that literally wanted and were afraid of where our country was headed, what do? You, when you're afraid, you hit the brakes. And what do when you hit the brakes? Don't let anybody else in. Don't let the Muslims in. Don't let the Mexicans in. Don't let anybody else in. Things are fucked up enough. This wasn't some, and I'm going to build a wall. It was like, yeah, that's a great idea, man. That's funny. No, people think he was serious. They thought he was serious. They voted for him because one of those things was he was going to build a wall from California to the Gulf of Mexico.
Dangerous, because some of them are alarming.
Just some of Trump's promises: repeal and replace Obamacare, build a wall along the southern border with Mexico and get Mexico to pay for said wall, deport all 11 to 12 million undocumented immigrants in this country, including children, appoint a special prosecutor to investigate and potentially jail Hillary Clinton.
Okay, deportation of about 12 million people. You don't think people are going to hold him to that? That's what he brought. You remember, everybody promises you everything you want to hear when they want your vote. But how much of this was he actually serious about? Is he going to appoint a prosecutor to investigate Hillary Clinton? I don't know. You have to remember, it's a big club and we ain't in it. And everybody there in Washington kind of looks out for each other because they have their gig. If you're some aide and you're making 60 grand a year and you just, you know, everybody calls you sir and you'd ride around in limousines, you don't want that fucking life to end. So you're not going to rat anybody else out, and no one's going to rat you out. But when an outsider, this is this guy, comes into that big old sappy soup machine of Washington and says, we're going to drain the swamp, everybody's going to turn and point their fangs at him. And do you think he's literally going to, who's he going to get that's going to want to go up against the Clintons? Give me the guy who wants to risk his family's life and being the next Kenneth Starr. I think there's a couple more things on this list before we close it up.
Temporarily ban Muslims and immigrants from terror-prone nations from coming into the United States.
We already mentioned that. Is that going to happen? Are we going to see literally a lockdown on specific religions or races entering the United States of America? And what is the percentage that's all for it? What is the percentage that's torn by this decision if it were to take place? And, of course, what is the percentage that's adamantly against it? Well, if you study history, you might be against it. All right, cheer me up and let's get out of here.
Okay, stop. Just stop. Because it sounds like you're reading the to-do list on Satan's refrigerator. which, of course, Satan no longer needs now that hell has frozen over. And while some are arguing that Trump might not have meant all those things, that leaves us with two devastating options. Either we just elected a president who didn't mean a single word he said, or we elected one who did. And it's impossible to know which one. Earlier tonight, he did his first major post-election interview, and he was asked about Obamacare, which, remember, he had labeled a disaster.
When you replace it, 60 are
minutes,
you going to make
Saturday
sure
night.
That people with preconditions are still covered?
Yes, because it happens to be one of the strongest assets.
You're going to keep that?
Also, with the children living with their parents for an extended period, we're going to...
You're going to keep
very
that?
Much try and keep that.
Oh, okay. So get ready for a barely changed version of Obamacare called Trumpcare, which sounds like a healthcare plan where doctors feel your breasts for lumps whether you ask them to or not. But by the way, don't get complacent that he is going to keep those aspects of Obamacare. He might change his mind on that again. Trump is like a magic eight ball. Every time you shake him, he gives you a different answer. And sometimes the answer is just big league or that's somebody on my daughter, right? So we have to take all of Trump's promises seriously. And
that's my point. I get it. We're so used to politicians stumping for your vote and talking about the things they know when they're in the middle of, let's say, the Iron Belt, or they're in the middle of Silicon Valley, or they're in the middle of the southern growers of tobacco and cotton. They know exactly what to say because they know who they're talking to, and they know that specific group of people, what they want. So we are absolutely conditioned to have politicians blow smoke up our ass or promise us things we want. The question is, some of what he promised, A, how many people want it? How many people want a Muslim registry? I'm not talking about Trump. I'm not even talking about Congress. I'm talking about how many Americans want that. And if you do, be honest. Don't lie. I'll need to know why you want it. And I can guarantee you, somewhere in that thought process is the fear that has been trumpeted into your head. Politicians run and they tell you a lot of things that, oh, geez, you know, the factory just closed down and 5,000 people lost their jobs. And I'm going to make sure that we bring manufacturing back to blah, 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 blah. I'm voting for you. They play us like they do. They play us like we're instruments. But when you need to start promising that you're going to restrict a certain people from entering your country because of their religious beliefs, you better fucking look in the mirror. Because if this is real, and we'll find out in the next probably 50 days whether this registry bullshit is real enough where even Congress considers it. The next question is, how many people will be pissed that it didn't get any legs? Is that 10% of America? Is that 20? Is that 40? How many people are just completely afraid of that other religion? Afraid of it. Afraid of the people that practice it. Afraid of the book. Afraid of anything associated with it whatsoever. And how, since 10 years ago, you hadn't even heard of the fucking religion, did you become so afraid of them and their people? What made you afraid? This guy kind of played some of those people. So I'm hoping that a lot of his rhetoric when it comes to that kind of bullshit was absolutely rhetoric. And he can back away from that. And not look like, you know, everybody, you know, like when Bush was running, you know, they had the pictures of Adolf Hitler and then And then Trump's running, and they have the pictures of Adolf Hitler, and you go, ah, okay, you know, I get it. Watch out for fascism, and, you know, that socialism and fascism and everything kind of, you know. And then you realize that some of the things this guy's saying is the same thing that got that other guy elected. And you realize, well, you know, been about 80 years, like 3.5, maybe 4 generations of people. People forget. What are they going to do, tattoo their wrists? If you're a Muslim and you come into America, you're going to have a little code on your fucking wrist? What do you want? All right, cheer me up and let's go home.
The truth is, they were not all universally bad. For instance, he ran on a promise to drain the swamp, cracking down on corruption and ending the reign of Washington insiders, which sounds great. So let's try and be positive for a moment. What are the early signs on that?
Some of the potential cabinet members that are being reported by CNN that are under consideration. Rudy Giuliani, Newt Gingrich, Chris Christie, Reince Priebus.
Right, so that's the longtime head of the RNC, a former speaker who entered Congress in 1979, a former mayor turned professional asshole, and a man whose name is more synonymous with scandal than Shonda fucking Rhimes. That is so... Right, so that's the longtime head of the RNC, a former speaker who entered Congress in 1979.
Gingrich.
A former mayor turned professional asshole.
Giuliani.
And a man whose name is more synonymous with scandal than Shonda fucking Rhimes. That is so swampy, you're going to need to swap out Air Force One for one of those shallow bottom boats with a big fan on the back.
Chris Christie. I'm going to drain the swamp. This is going to be a very interesting 2017. I think in such a good way too. I really do. I think in some type of, I don't know, crazy dream, you could move towards a more of a utopian society, not a pure one, because you'll always have individuality and you'll have disagreement, and that's healthy. But the idea that we are destined as a species to, we can even picture it. We put it in sci-fi movies, and there were people all the way back to the 60s that made science fiction, so-called science fiction, where they talked about advanced societies. And I firmly believe that we have the potential to get there. Question is, do we? Or do we derail ourselves? And over the last 20 years, we've been derailing ourselves. And that includes how we treat the planet and everything else. But it also includes the monopolization of everything from banks to energy companies to communications companies. And once you see that fascism taking place, it's very, very hard to believe that it's going to stop or derail itself or we could stop it. But I think, honestly, I think we're stopping it. I think there's just too many ways for a good, positive, hopeful, forward progressive thought of any progressive topic, anything, energy and life. And even, hey, if you're religious and you think life is sacred and you think abortion is murder, you know what? You matter. You don't matter any less than anybody else in my world. I might disagree with you and we might get into that, but I don't think that you're somehow less than me or I'm anywhere less than you. And I think that's where we're headed. People talk about how nasty people get on social media. That's exactly how you find out who you're dealing with. If you get into a good, deep conversation where someone's taking their time out to type a nice, concise, informative paragraph with maybe a link. Hey, check this out. I know you disagree with me, but bam. I do a lot of that. I go to lots of people's threads. And I'll see something controversial and you'll see you always see comments. And it says like 93 comments. I'm like, I'm going to hit this thread. And I'll just scroll down it. Sometimes it's tough because, you know how threads work. People are bopping back and forth. You can't always tell who's answering who. But you can get a real feel for what people truly believe or feel if they come from, and it's happened on my thread, you know, where people that are embraced the Christian Jesus thing. And they come at me because I might come at them. I don't call them names. They don't call me names. And at the end of the day, I'm sure a little of me is sunk in, and I'm sure a little of them is sunk in, too. So it's a good thing. I'm not saying Trump being elected is a good thing, but what I'm saying is all the media that this is bringing and the attention and the topics and the conversation is absolutely necessary. So I didn't vote for him. You know, I didn't even mention the protesters tonight because to me that's kind of a secondary topic. That's more about people that were either misled by the polls like me or absolutely are appalled at anything that Donald Trump might have mumbled. And or remember, this is a man who's made fun of the handicapped. I mean, this guy isn't exactly squeaky clean. So there's a lot of reasons that a lot of people don't like him. And I honor that completely. And you see a lot of that. You see a lot of the emotion, a lot of women chanting and everything else. This is a beautiful thing. It really is. I always considered this, and I'll say goodnight, I've always considered it this way. Anytime a progressive society has to make its next quantum leap to truly fill out their destiny and get to another higher level of consciousness and existence. And what that means is prosperity for many and many, many. You know, a real good society where you're honoring the planet and you know, it's, you know, you'll have disagreements and but, you know, resources are shared and recycled and we get into more of that cyclical thinking about how we treat the planet, how we use energy, how we grow food, what do we do with our waste. And we're on the verge of that. We're not there yet. Because we got a couple more generations that'll die out that don't care about recycling. And then we'll get all the way to the fact that people go, you know what, let's make our plastics from hemp. We won't have to worry about non-biodegradable plastics floating in the oceans and clogging the lungs of a whale. We're getting there. We are. I see the progress. And if you see progress in your lifetime, can you imagine what your great-grandchildren will look back and go, yeah, remember when America or the world used to be about this and then in 2020, you know, this took place or that took place and the world was, you know, sprung forward at a pace where there was so much prosperity and so much joy and you know, wars weren't about making money anymore. And people had removed the profit from a war machine. And they had started sinking their profits into machines that create prosperity for people and water and oxygen and clean environments and building materials. And again, taking care of all the animals. We're there. We're right at the precipice of that. You know why? Because we're talking about all of it. That is always, it's like always word, it's always thought, word, deed. When we as a species create anything, it's thought, word, deed. Thought, word, deed. So we thought it for a while. We're saying it. Now we're going to act it out. It's going to happen. Listen, I got to go. You guys have a great one. I'm pretty much right against the clock here. And thank you, Jeff, for the shots. Thanks for wrecking the first 50 minutes of the show. And I'll talk to you guys next week. I got to dump out here. See ya.
This is a Beyond the Badge with Vincent Hill Quick Fix on Radio Influence.
If you're just starting to listen to Beyond the Badge, Beyond the Badge talks about the top police cases facing the country today that we all see in mainstream media, but I do it from a twist. I do it from a police point of view. I give it to you real, I give it to you raw. And contrary to what people will say, I give it to you unbiased because when I see BS, I call BS. But I will tell you, when I see something that is not BS, that mainstream media is making police to look one way or to make them look this way or certain groups are making police look that way, I call them on it. And anybody that's listened to this show in the past will tell you, Vincent Hill will give it to you real, raw, uncut, and he will give you the truth.
Beyond the Badge with Vincent Hill can be found on iTunes, Stitcher, and RadioInfluence.com.